November, Year of God, 892. 1. HMS Empress of Charis, City of Telesburg, Kingdom of Charis. I suppose it's time. Empress Charlian Armok turned from the huge stern window's panoramic vista of Telesburg Harbor's incredibly crowded waters at the sound of her husband's voice. It was the first day of November, a date that she had been dreading for 5 days, and now it was here. Caleb stood beside the dining cabin table, which had been one of her gifts to him. She'd managed to commission it without his finding out she had, and the obvious pleasure he'd taken from the surprise had pleased her immensely. Now the hand-rubbed, exquisitely finished wood's exotic grain and patterns gleamed in the single brilliant shaft of morning sunlight falling through the open skylight, and the thick rugs which cushioned the deck's planking glowed like pools of crimson light in the cabin's shadowed dimness. The bullion embroidery of his tunic flashed and flickered. The sunlight through the skylight struck green and golden fire from the chain of office about his neck, and something was trying to close her throat as she gazed at him. "I know it's time," she said, then paused and cleared her throat. "I just don't want it to be." "Me either," he said, with a flash of white teeth in a fleeting smile. "I know you have to go. I've known you'd be going ever since I arrived in Telesburg, but..." Charlian heard the slight quaver in her own voice. "I didn't expect it to be this hard."
"For both of us, my lady."
Caleb's voice was quiet, and he crossed to her in two long strides. He caught both her slender hands in his powerful, sword-calloused ones, raised them to his lips, and kissed their backs.
"It wasn't supposed to be like this," she told him,
freeing one hand and laying it gently against his cheek.
"I know."
Again, that flashing smile she'd discovered could melt her heart. "It was supposed to be a marriage of state, with you secretly hardly able to wait to see my back despite all of the proper public platitudes." He shook his head, his eyes glinting in the dimness. "How in the world can I expect to kick Hector's ass the way he deserves to have it kicked when I couldn't even get that right?"
"Oh," she said as lightly as she could, "I'm sure you'll fumble through to victory somehow, Your Majesty."
"Why, thank you, Your Majesty." He kissed the hand he still held for a second time, then drew her close and tucked an arm about her. She savored that arm's strength, even as she marveled at the depth of the truth hidden in his light-hearted description of what their marriage could have been, what she'd more than half expected it to be. It didn't seem possible. They'd been married for little more than 1 month. She'd known him for less than 3. And yet this parting was like cutting off her own hand.
"I don't want you to go," she admitted softly.
"And I don't want to leave you behind," he replied. "Which makes us just like thousands of other husbands and wives, doesn't it?" He looked down into her eyes, and his own were grave.
"If we have to ask this of them, I suppose it's only fair that we have to pay in the same coin."
"But we've had so little time," she protested.
"If God's good, we'll have the years yet to make up for that." He turned to face her fully, and she laid her cheek against his chest.
"And I assure you that I'm looking forward to every one of those years," he added in a wicked whisper into her ear as his right hand slid down her back to caress her posterior. That was one good thing about Charisian fashion, she thought. Chisholmian gowns tended to be well buttressed with petticoats against her northern kingdom's cooler climate. Charis's lighter and thinner gowns were far less armored.
"It's a good thing there are no witnesses to discover what a crude and vulgar fellow you really are, Your Majesty," she told him, raising her head and turning her face up towards his.
"Maybe it is.
but it's a very bad thing that I don't have enough time to prove what a crude and vulgar fellow I am," he told her, and bent to kiss her. She savored the moment, pressing against him, and then, as if on cue, each of them inhaled deeply, and they stepped back slightly from one another. "I truly do hate leaving you behind, for a lot of reasons," he told her. "And I'm genuinely sorry to be dropping full responsibility on you when you've had so little time to settle here in Tellisburg."
"I can't pretend I didn't know a moment like this would be coming, though, can I?" she countered. "And at least I'll have Earl Greyharbor and the Archbishop to advise me."
"There's just never enough time," he grimaced in frustration. "You should have had more time. There are so many things I still need to tell you, explain to you." He shook his head. "I shouldn't have to be dashing off like this with so much still only half done,"